Well, coming up on today's show, the long-range Nissan Leaf now officially has a name. Jaguar Land Rover do a deal with a charging network. And Tesla are going on a hiring spree. That's right, I'll tell you more soon. Good morning, good afternoon and good evening, wherever you are in the world. Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, the 18th of July edition of EV News Daily. It's Martin Lee here with the news you need to know about electric cars and the move towards sustainable transport. We'll kick off with some news in brief. The Tesla Model 3 cumulative production has now exceeded 50,000 cars. According to the Bloomberg tracker, that tracker has a bit of a lag built into it due to the methodology they use, but it has proven to be pretty close in terms of accuracy. The Dutch city of Delft is the first city worldwide to have an electric vehicle charging station equipped with a pole that also holds an automated external defibrillator. You may have seen these AEDs around, an essential piece of medical equipment and now being attached to EV charging stations. A wonderful idea. And Ask Autoline is a one-hour Q&A with John from Autoline. And yesterday's episode was all about the Tesla Model 3 teardown, that short video that we saw with him and Sandy Munro, but going into a lot more detail, answering some questions, and that's on YouTube right now. Well, we'll start with that story about the new Nissan Leaf, the next Nissan Leaf. It now has a confirmed name. It will be the Nissan Leaf E+. Auto Guide has the scoop on this one. The long-range Nissan Leaf, which will arrive in 2019, well, it's going to be the 2019 model year, is going to get a boost in power, and it's officially called the E+, the Japanese automaker, confirmed to Auto Guide. Speaking at a special event to promote Nissan's upcoming Formula E race program for the next series, Nissan's Director of EV Marketing and Sales Strategy is Brian Marango, and he revealed some... Marango. It sounds like he's a musical instrument. Brian Marango revealed some details about the anticipated long-range Leaf. Now, Marango said the larger battery Leaf will receive the E+ badge, and it'll get a boost in power over the 40-kilowatt-hour version. Now, the current Leaf is rated at 142 horsepower. The long-range model will have 200 horsepower on tap. And of course, more range as well from that larger battery. Well, Auto Evolution point out that at the EVS29 electric vehicle convention 2 years ago now, in 2016, Nissan did let slip that it will be working, has been working, on a 60 kilowatt hour battery. In all likelihood, it's that battery that we could find in the E+, shadowing the capacity and range of the entry level version of the Tesla Model 3. Well, actually, a couple of years down the line, my comment on that, I wouldn't be surprised if LG Chem are supplying 64 kilowatt hour battery packs, as they are doing to the Hyundai Motor Company for, it's the Kona, that's right, because the Kia Niro EV is using the SK Innovation cells. So the Kona has the 64 kilowatt hour pack. I wouldn't be surprised if it's, if not identical, very similar thermal management. We know that with liquid cooling, and also maybe that's usable. 60 kilowatt hour usable from a 64 kilowatt hour pack. We'll have to wait and see. Well, moving on, and charging is always a big topic, and Jaguar Land Rover has partnered with Plug Surfing to supply a premium charging service, they say, for its electrified vehicles in selected markets here in Europe. Drivers choosing an all-electric Jaguar I-Pace performance SUV, is how they describe it, will be given free access to the Jaguar public charging app, whilst the Range Rover or the Range Rover Sport plugins, the PHEVs, customers of those can download the Land Rover public charging app for free. Well, both apps easily locate 70,000 charging points, and you can pay for the charging session on the app as well. Customers also will receive a universal charging card that allows them to use most charging points across Europe. Through the apps, Jaguar and Land Rover electric vehicle drivers can see whether a charging station is currently available or occupied. Drivers can choose to rapid charge before reaching their destination or charge at a normal speed upon arrival. There are two packages on offer, a fixed monthly fee or pay-as-you-go. Each package, which includes the universal charging key and app download information, is available through the Jaguar and Land Rover retailer network. I'll put a little link to the Jaguar press office page on the show notes if you want to read more. Well, customers have begun ordering the Porsche Taycan, the firm's first all-electric vehicle, despite the production version of the car not even being revealed yet, not even being anywhere close to being ready. The UK managing director, Alexander Pollock, has said, and according to Jim Holder, writing for Autocar, order books opened earlier this month. I didn't realise you could now place an order for a Taycan, with Pollock confirming the customers were keen to reserve early cars, despite the car only being revealed in concept form, really, and at that point it was called the Mission E, which is a far better name. He did not confirm order numbers, however. The production car is expected to be revealed for the first time not this year, actually, 2019. It might not even hit the roads in 2019. You might be buying a car now, which you don't really get your hands on until early 2020. Well, the Taycan sits on a new architecture. It's called the J1 by Porsche, or Porsche. The brand's first EV is going to feature 800-volt charging technology intended to future-proof their cars for several years after it hits the market. The company officials have already confirmed it's designed to enable fast charging. You get to 80% in 15 minutes. That's the kind of golden numbers they're talking about. And the first two 800-volt chargers already installed at a German Porsche dealer. Not that there's any Porsche Taycans that can use that. However, if you are an EV driver, you can use them for free at the moment whilst they test the technology. Well, several months ago, Tesla went on a massive hiring spree as it geared up production, marketing, and customer touch points for accelerated deliveries of the Model 3, according to Joshua at thinknum.com. Then, only recently, the company let go of 9% of its workforce in an effort to make things a bit more efficient as it came under fire from all angles to deliver the cars and, more importantly, for those shareholders and stockholders to deliver profit. So it's with an equal mix of fascination and trepidation that we report that Tesla is now embarking on a hiring spree. On July the 1st, earlier this month, 17 days ago, the company had 1,600 openings. As of yesterday, the company had 1,974 openings. That's a jump of 19% in just 2 weeks. Now, whereas layers of management seem to be the focus of the previous reduction in workforce, these openings all seem to be geared around sales or customer facing. 85 of the positions advertised, for instance, are for the customer experience specialists. At Goodwood Festival of Speed last week, I went on the Friday, and every single person I spoke to on the Tesla stand had an encyclopedic knowledge of the cars. Now, sometimes you go to these car shows and they bring in promo people. I'm not just talking about the promo girls in hot pants, which, yes, car people still do. Seems a slightly weird, kind of outdated thing to do, handing out leaflets and welcoming guys onto their stand. But anyway, the Tesla stand, all wearing identical outfits. It was kind of like beige, khaki kind of colours, and all had white trainers on as well. So they looked amazing. But as I was chatting to them, and they were chatting to me as well, and they kind of found out pretty quickly I was kind of geeky about EVs, and we were talking about, you know, the nuances of the design studio. They all had super good knowledge. So I don't know whether they'd been brought in from various different parts of the Tesla company, or maybe they just work for... I should have asked whether they were full-time or whether they were kind of promo or customer experience people or kind of activation people that promo companies have that were just... They were enormously well-briefed. I presume they were Tesla employees because they just knew too much. They were too good. Well, moving on. And as of Monday this week, the Tesla Model 3 Performance and Dual Motor, or the P3 and P3D, if you like, as some are calling it, were officially rated by the EPA. And that opens the door for those cars to now be delivered. We know they've been making them in droves, and some of them for test drives, and some of them just now out of the factory gates and heading to dealers. Fred Lambert at Electric says the EPA has now confirmed that both the performance and non-performance dual motor versions have a 116 MPGe rating, with 120 MPGe for city driving, 112 for highway driving. As for the range, they both get officially rated at 310 miles on a single charge. There's no difference there. Just like the long-range rear-wheel drive version. But the dual motor Model 3 vehicles officially have an efficiency of 29 kilowatt hours per 100 miles versus 26 kilowatt hours per 100 miles for the single motor version. I'll put a link to Electrek in the show notes, as always, for you to read a little bit more if you want to, and leave some comments there, or leave some comments on YouTube or our own channels if you want to. On yesterday's podcast, we were talking about the Tesla Model 3 teardown by Sandy Munro from 5 or 6 months ago, when he first got a really early build of one and was not impressed. Then he drove one and he liked it. Then he took one apart and then he loved it. Well, his company did, I should say. He doesn't work on his own. And thank you to Robin Bachman, who says that Munro's teardown and update was very good. ICE manufacturers are going to have trouble without vertical integration. Batteries, drivetrain, motors, and electronics will all be sourced externally, leaving hardly any margin, says Robin. It's a good comment, actually. He goes on to say that Hyundai are having trouble now with their new EV as LG can't keep up. I didn't know that LG can't keep up. I wouldn't... Is that fact? I haven't read that, but thank you very much for the comment. Is that speculation? They are also supplying GM for the Bolt and possibly some German car manufacturer as well. Definitely, actually. With Cobalt now 4 times the price, batteries are going to be very costly. Well, yes, Robin, Cobalt is the most expensive bits of the batteries, but moving from an old chemistry to the new 811, which takes the Cobalt down to just a tenth of the battery, and certainly Panasonic with Tesla saying that they're aiming for almost near cobalt free batteries. I agree with you. It does look like, though, the cell cost will continue to come down rather than go up, if you ask me. That's the pattern, that's the trend at the moment. That will filter through to the battery cost as well, from cell level to pack level. Well, thank you very much to user YR2050. Says it's fun to watch Munro from the video 5 months ago. Said how he hates the body, and in each subsequent video, you could see he's coming around. He has, what I was just saying, actually, in the talk show 2 months ago. I think he's a secret Tesla fan already. I love it. Hi to Barbara, who says, on the subject of Tesla superchargers. Oh, it's a reminder, if you haven't heard yesterday's podcast, I won't spoil it. If you'd like to download a few batch of them, if you'd like to go back and listen to maybe a week's worth of news or something, I won't go into the whole thing yesterday. You can download it and have a listen. But we were talking about a rumour, which we don't normally do, and some speculation from quite a good source in Germany, from a Tesla owner who bumped into a Tesla engineer at the German superchargers, who was doing some preparation work for adding CCS combo chargers to the Tesla supercharger network in Germany. That was what this user on Reddit was saying. So, you know, this isn't news. This is not official. This is simply a Reddit. So, but if that's true, and they have made room in the Tesla Model 3 for another charge port, that would be super interesting. Barbara says, I remember in Germany, Tesla had to stop building superchargers. Some German law, but they did find a caveat that by putting some charger for non-Tesla cars, they got round it. In support to the idea that Model 3 will have a CCS combo 2, I remember that Tesla wanted to be part of the Ionity charging network. Who knows? Says Barbara. Yes, thank you very much. You can leave your comments, by the way, on the YouTube channel. We put the audio, it's a podcast, but we put the audio on YouTube. It seems to go down okay. And also on all the usual places. You can email if you want to. hello@evnewsdaily.com. That's hello@evnewsdaily.com. In the meantime, I mentioned those previous podcasts. There's 183 of them, if you're a glutton for punishment, on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and YouTube. And the blog at evnewsdaily.com. If you subscribe, you get them first and free and automatically. Come and say hi on the socials by searching EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you tomorrow.